¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. It's B-Mac behind the glass. It is a Thursday edition of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Something happened this morning that questioned if I was still alive. I woke up kind of early, and I've been on some antibiotics, so kind of a little druggy when I woke up this morning. I hopped on Twitter, and trending was RIP JB. Rest in peace, JB. And I was, for a moment in my head, because you know how you're still kind of in that haze whenever you first wake up, especially if you've been a little bit under the weather. I was wondering to myself if I had passed away, if I had died, because I was a trending on Twitter. RIP JB, or I thought that you might have passed away.
I was going to say, well, it was crazy because I woke up this morning and I had this crazy thought because I went on Twitter and I saw trending RIP JB and I thought I died.
Did you see that too?
I did see it.
Yeah.
I saw it because
I was like, huh.
There was
weird.
A couple things trending, think, including rockets too. And I was like, oh, Lord, maybe they did something or maybe they fired Silas or something happened when I fell asleep last night.
Yeah.
But was to no avail there. But neither one of us died either. So that was good.
I was a little worried. I had to pinch myself. Rest in peace, JB, when I looked at Twitter this morning. I was like, uh-oh, uh-oh, that's not good.
You think that would have trended?
My time on Earth is, I think locally, yeah. Maybe okay. Not, I mean, nationally, no. I think locally it would be trending. Because, like, you can cater your trends to, you know, nationally, locally. I think it'd be trending locally, don't you think?
I think it'd be trending inside these studios.
No doubt. I mean, you'd be, you know, feverishly trying to find a co-host for Blankers. But
Big Sarge has got that.
Okay.
Hashtag hear me out.
Are his services available?
Oh.
Yeah, you don't even have to pay him.
Yeah, would if either one of us died, would it be trending on Twitter? 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. The other thing that's been trending since yesterday, it happened late in our show yesterday, is that Sean Payton, the Texans requested permission with the Saints to interview Payton. It's been reported since that Sean Payton is going to interview for the job. Benny Johnson's in town today, by the way.
Is he?
Benny Johnson's in town to interview for the job today. Benny
Beautiful.
Johnson is the first guy being interviewed, I believe, unless there was a Zoom with somebody else. Benny Johnson, at least face-to-face, Benny Johnson, the first candidate to meet with the Texans. The Texans need to blow Benny Johnson away, and Benny Johnson needs to blow the Texans away.
And then he needs to look Cal and Hannah in the face and scream, "I want this effing job," just like his boss did.
I don't think that's the way to get the Texans job.
Yeah, I don't think
job.
That's going to go over with
that. I don't think that's the way to get the Texans job. Anyway, Sean Payton, it looks like he's going to interview for the Texans job. I like this. I like that Sean Payton is interviewing for the Texans while also saying that I want no part of Sean Payton as the next head coach. The reason that I like it, like gaining intel and stuff, gaining some information, I think that that stuff is good.
You that yesterday. That's the main reason why I want them to talk to as many people as possible.
It's a positive. Do I think that sometimes we can overrate that? I think that we can. Like, Sean Payton's telling you that your draft picks aren't good? Okay. Like, what are you gaining from that? Like, you're going to all of a sudden, like, put how you make draft picks on the, like, things to look at and to reassess how you do that. That should be happening every year. Like, that stuff should be going on all the time. But I do think it's a positive, and you're losing nothing by interviewing Sean Payton. So I like that it shows that. It also shows you that it's a real interview process, which I can't say the same from year one, year two. Last year, David Culley was getting fired on the Thursday of Black Monday week. So, like, the Texans are interviewing Benny Johnson today, one of the hottest candidates for a job. They're going to interview Sean Payton. Steichen's going to interview. We'll see what happens with the other coaches they've requested interviews with, but the Texans are having a real process that is real relative to the rest of the league. It's not some, okay, we're going to bring in Hines Ward, Josh McCown, we're not going to interview Lovie Smith, and then we're going to hire him at the end of the day. We're not going to fire David Culley 4 days later than anybody else is firing their head coaches.
I tried to tell you this the other day. This is the rebranding and re-imaging of the entire Houston Texans, not just a coaching search. The way they've handled everything so far, which is completely a 180 from the way they've handled it in the past, and just to highlight what you just said, from you didn't go and try to be the first team out of the gate to fire your coach so that you can just get on with the process, you dragged it out. Then it was like this top secret FBI like kind of thing to figure out who they were interviewing at first, and then when you have to announce these things and get down to it, then even then it seemed like it was the international mystery tour, and you've got a guy that's never been, you know, a coach before in his life taking all the headlines. This time, from the way the owner is portraying his involvement to who will be involved in the process, to the way that they actually fired Lovie Smith, they immediately, the way they announced all the candidates they already have identified, it's night and day for this entire franchise.
Much like you and I are real boys now, that we don't have the puppeteer and Brendan Riley anymore.
We escaped that.
The Texans are having a real search now. The Texans are a real boy. Like, last year, the coaching search was a joke. The year before that, the coaching search was a joke. This year, you have to take the Texans seriously. They're in the mix with every single big-name candidate. They're going to talk to Sean Payton, who many people think is the biggest candidate. So I love how it shows you that the Texans are being serious. Because for the last 3 years, the Texans have been the laughingstock of the NFL. Now the Texans are being looked at as, do the Texans potentially have the best opening in the NFL? That is a good thing from where the Texans were. The Texans were in a spot where nobody's going to take that job, even if you don't believe that. Like, a lot of people think David Culley was hired because nobody else was willing to take the job. I won't go that far, but some people did think that. So you're going from a range 2 years ago when you hired David Culley that some people were thinking no one's going to take that job, to now Sean Payton, the top candidate for any of these NFL coaching positions, is interviewing. So it's a real interview process. The Texans have to be taken seriously, and they are potentially the top job that is open during this coaching cycle. That said, as much as I like that Payton is interviewing with the Texans, and the Texans are being serious, and it's a real interview process, I want nothing to do with Sean Payton. A lot of it is the price it's going to cost you. If you bring in Sean Payton and he's your top target, it's going to cost you more than likely a first-round draft pick. That is something that I'm not interested in. There's also, if I point to Sean Payton, another thing that really concerns me, he flat-out quit on the Saints. He did not like the direction of that organization, and he flat-out quit. That's worst-case scenario. You might say, well, he was burned out, he was tired, he wanted to get away from the game, take a year off.
Drew Brees left.
Sure, but, like, hear me out on this. Like, worst case scenario, he flat out quit on the Saints, the team that he was loyal to his whole life, and they were loyal to him through Bounty Gate, right? Like, they were loyal to Sean Payton, and he quit on the Saints.
Can I tell you what it compares to?
What's that?
James Harden. When it was sunshine and rainbows, Drew Brees and a chance to win the Super Bowl, life was great, and I ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
And the minute Drew Brees was gone and the chances were less and less that you were going to compete for a Super Bowl, you got screwed a couple times in the playoffs too, regardless, but you knew it wasn't going to be the same kind of run, I'm out.
I think it's a decent comparison. But even like if you're listening to me right now and be like, oh, you're being too extreme. He didn't quit on the Saints. He was just tired. He was just burnt out. He needed to take a year off the NFL. Okay, so worst case scenario, he quit on the Saints, an organization that was loyal to him through some controversy. Best case scenario, I'll concede your point for just a second. I'll concede that you're right. Best case scenario, he just needed to step away for the game for a year. He needed to breathe a little bit without football. What makes you think he's not going to do that again as he's older in life? Like, best case scenario, he needs a year. What makes you think in 5 years he doesn't need another year? He's older now. I don't trust Sean Payton.
I think it's going to take a boatload of money. I think that this was exactly what Caserio was alluding to when he said, for the right guy, if they identify him, that he would step aside. Because this is the kind of guy that you would think at this point in his life, his career, he's going to want a boatload of money and total control. And I think this compares to me a lot to when we were talking about, should you go out and get a Lamar Jackson or a Carr or a veteran quarterback and bring them into this team at a very high amount of money. This is going to be a very, very young team for quite a while. And I think that you need a very young, innovative mind and coach that can grow with this roster. You don't need get off my lawn guy, been there, done that guy, that's going to be, you know, a dictatorship on both ends, commanding who he wants to get for players when it's not going to sync up with what the rebuild plan is with building through the draft and young players and developing them. He's going to want players that can come in and compete and play right now, veteran guys. So I think that for all those reasons, on top of what you said, I don't want him either.
See, the I believe all that stuff. Like, I don't really want a head coach who's a micromanager, and I've heard him described as, like, he wants to dictate, like, what color the shirts are that you're giving away on Sunday. Like, I don't want a head coach that is that much of a micromanager. That, to me, is not a deal breaker. It's more of a red flag. I can overlook that, but the thing that I can't overlook is he either quit on his team or left, needed a hiatus, and now is quickly going to go back to the NFL after a year. I can't trust a guy like that. Like, look at everything the Saints put up with. We can talk about the severity of Bounty Gate. Some people think it was silly. Some people think that it was way too severe by the NFL. Sean Payton got suspended by a year. Like, you might think that that was unfair, but he still got suspended for a year. And the New Orleans Saints stuck with Sean Payton. And, like, that's something that a lot of owners in sports wouldn't do. Jim Crane didn't do it whenever Jeff Luhnow and A.J. Hinch got suspended for a year. But the Loomis family did. And then Sean Payton, whenever Breeze is gone, the organization doesn't look like they're an automatic playoff team, he flat out leaves and he wants to go somewhere else and he sits out a year. I don't want that type of dude as the head coach of the Houston Texans. That said, the one other issue is a bigger issue than this, and that is the draft pick compensation. I want to talk about that on the other side. If you're a Sean Payton supporter, if you think that Sean Payton should be the next head coach of the Houston Texans, please tell me why. 713-780-ESPN. It's the HRP listener line. 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN. 97.5. Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
My bad. I said that the Loomis family stuck with Sean Payton throughout the whole controversy. Loomis was the GM there.
Yeah,
it was
Mickey
the Bensons
Loomis.
And Gail Benson's the owner. So just a little correction there. Stat Boy helping us out with that on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Worst case scenario, Sean Payton quit on the Saints. Best case scenario, he had to take a year away from the Saints to regroup. And all of a sudden, as he's older in life, that possibility doesn't exist. But that's not even the biggest reason why I don't want Sean Payton, because that's a red flag. It's borderline a deal breaker, but definitely a red flag. The thing that is a deal breaker for me, though, and if you're an advocate for Sean Payton, I'd love to talk to you. 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees would love to have that conversation. 713-780-3776. The draft pick compensation, like, you're looking at a first-round draft pick for Sean Payton. You're looking at trading either number 12 this year, and some people on this station are advocating to trade pick number 12 for Sean Payton, or maybe one of your first-round draft picks next year. And the reason is that Sean Payton gives you immediate credibility, right? You're credible around the rest of the NFL. He gives you a guy who won a Super Bowl, which, by the way, we mock John Gruden. And remember that John Gruden was hired by the Raiders the second time around when he was 16 years removed from winning a Super Bowl. Sean Payton is 13 years removed from winning a Super Bowl. 13 years.
Now, let me ask you this. How far was Gruden removed from the NFL in the broadcasting booth?
Because A lot.
Yeah, so Payton was only removed from coaching for what, two?
One.
One?
It won.
Okay, one. So then at least he's been connected to coaching. I used a combo platter. I mean, it's one thing to say when he won his last Super Bowl. It's another thing to say, if I understand you're doing all these quarterback, you know, clinic videos and shows and calling games every week, but you can't tell me that. It's like Cower. At a certain time, no matter how good Cower used to be, if you've been away from the game on a daily basis for that long, it's passing you by.
Listen to the coaches who have won a Super Bowl more recently than Sean Payton. Tony Dungy won one 3 years before Payton. Cower won one 4 years before Sean Payton. That's how far back you have to go for Sean Payton. But Super Bowl winning coaches since Sean Payton. Because everybody's saying, well, you're trading for a Super Bowl winning coach. There are some Super Bowl winning coaches that you could hire flat out outright without giving a first round draft pick
sure.
to. Mike McCarthy won a Super Bowl the year after Payton, of course, currently employed in the NFL. Tom Coughlin won a Super Bowl more recently than Sean Payton. We should, if Super Bowl winning coach is what you aspire for the Houston Texans head coaching position, what is Tom Coughlin up to? Why don't
I'm
you just
sure
bring
he's
up
a retirement
Tom Coughlin?
Home somewhere.
Tom Coughlin has won a Super Bowl more recently than Sean Payton.
I would bet he's at an old folks home watching the clock, and if anybody's late for bingo, they're getting fined, and the clocks are all 5 minutes fast.
John Harbaugh, Pete Carroll, Bill Belichick. How about this one? Super Bowl 50, 2015 season. Gary Kubiak. Gary Kubiak has won a Super Bowl
rumored
much
to be
more recently
being
than Trump.
Pursued by the Jets right now for their newly opened OC position, but they're saying he does not want to come out of retirement.
Is they're saying he doesn't want to come out of retirement? Because I would be super intrigued with D'Amico Ryans as the head coach
no
of this
doubt.
Team.
I know
and Gary
said that.
Kubiak, a more recent Super Bowl winner than Sean Payton as his offensive coordinator. And then Bruce Arians won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. There's three dudes who have won a Super Bowl more recently than Sean Payton who are literally retired. They're retired. They're out of football, yet you're trying to sell to me because Sean Payton's a Super Bowl winning coach that the Texans should give up the number 12 pick for him. Are you kidding me? 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Cole, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Cole?
Hey, guys. Long-time listener. I listen to you guys every day. I'm on the Twitch chat, chiming in here and there. But casual Texans fan here, definitely more of an Astros-Rockets guy. But I think the Sean Payton... If they were to get Sean Payton, they could really rejuvenate the franchise and the fan base. And I mean, it would definitely get me interested, you know? So,
But Cole, are you willing to give up the number 12 pick in this year's draft for him?
Now that's another story.
That's not another story. That is the story. That's what it will require. Like that's not a story. It's the story, Cole. I think it's very easy. To your point, Cole, like if we just go surface level conversation, we don't dive into the details, which we know that is very important. If we go surface level conversation, there's a headline coming out Monday that Sean Payton's the next head coach of the Houston Texans. A lot of people be very excited for that. I would say it's like, I mean, the compensation is where I draw the line, but a lot of people would be happy with Sean Payton as the head coach of the Texans. But the conversation
that's what I was gonna
is
say,
the
Sean,
draft pick conversation.
I mean, Cole, if it was just Sean Payton was a street free agent, there was no compensation, I'm totally with you that I'd be intrigued to talk to him and that it would be a splash if they hired him. But that compensation 100. Thing, and it's not going to be a cheap compensation package, that in a nutshell to me is enough to scare me off if I didn't have other concerns.
100%. Totally agree. We'll see if they can work some magic. It'd be exciting for sure, and I'll just hang up and listen to you guys.
Thanks for listening, man.
Appreciate the call, Cole. Because, look, that's the side of the conversation that I don't think people are willing to have for the most part. For the most part. Some are, and I think you have to have that conversation. Like, it's very easy to say Sean Payton would be a great coach for the Houston Texans. I agree with you. Like, I don't think I don't think Sean Payton's a bad coach. I'm not saying that he's not going to succeed again in the NFL. Now, you can talk about the degree of success he's going to have in the NFL, but the conversation has to be the cost of Sean Payton. And I don't even care about the money. Like, Sean Payton's probably going to demand one of the highest coaching salaries and all of the, I don't care. That's Cal McNair's money, and it doesn't impact the salary cap, so it shouldn't influence the 53-man roster.
Cash and control would be big issues if we weren't talking about a bigger issue, which is the compensation.
Right. That, to me, like, I already drew the other red flag that I have, the whole fact that I think he quit on the Saints, worst case scenario. Some people are pushing back at that, say, well, you know, Drew Brees was gone and they were a package deal. Okay, best case scenario, he walked away. Like, that's the best. He left. He left in the middle of a contract. He left the Saints in the middle of a contract. You can't escape that. But even if you want to say that's not a deal breaker, that's a red flag, okay, whatever. The deal breaker for me comes into the fact that you're going to have to give up a first round draft pick for Sean Payton.
And probably more than that. So it might be more than just a first.
It might be. Like, that might be the minimum.
Yep.
Like, that might be the most, like, that might be the least that the Saints would be willing to accept.
That's the opener.
The opener. Like maybe get you in the conversation, right? Like the whole Deshaun Watson thing. To get in the conversation, you got to be willing to give away three first-round draft picks. It doesn't matter how good those three first-round draft picks are, just that you're willing to give away three. You're right. That is the opener to engage in that conversation. So the trade, because this is basically a trade, because you have to trade for Sean Payton. The trade is, like, who's your top target's Benny Johnson.
Ben Johnson.
I'm a Benny Johnson guy myself.
Big Johnson.
B-Mac, yeah, who's Johnson
your, Benny
well.
Johnson's your top target?
Yeah.
Okay, I think that a popular name in the city is probably D'Amico Ryans. I think
absolutely. They know him.
He's my number two.
They know him.
As well.
Sure.
They loved him as a player. They know him, so they're familiar with him already. And then they know what he's doing with the team he's doing it with. It's quite impressive.
So let's go D'Amico Ryans for a second. Let's go D'Amico Ryans for a second. Because the trade-off is, would you rather have D'Amico Ryans in the 12th pick of the NFL draft or Sean Payton? That has to be the question you're answering. Which of the two do you want? Do you want D'Amico Ryans or Benny Johnson and the 12th pick of the NFL draft, or do you want Sean Payton? 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Chad, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Chad?
Yeah, you know what? I think you stay with Sean Payton. If Sean Payton wants this job, I think he'd be perfect. I think there's no guarantee anyway in the first round that he's even going to pan out soon. It could take forever, or you know, maybe going with a 12th or something might be a better deal. I say you go with the experience. I don't care about the past. I think he can take this team somewhere. That's all I got to say.
Appreciate it, Chad. I mean, you had two guys that are being questioned as first round picks. They both started this year. I mean, I think you know pretty quick first round picks are going to start. You don't know how long they're going to start. You don't know the longevity of the career, but you don't know that with any player. But I think I'd be willing, with all the depth and the needs of this roster and how depleted it's been, I'd be willing to take a guy that could be almost plug-and-play starter and fill a hole rather than Sean Payton.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, 5856. Sean Payton is better than everyone you're talking about. Even if you're to believe that, and I'll have some counterpoints in just a second, but if Sean Payton is better than, let's just say, D'Amico Ryans, there's no really way to know that, but let's assume for a second Sean Payton's better than just D'Amico Ryans.
We'll say experience alone, you can say he's better than D'Amico Ryans.
He's certainly got a better resume.
Yeah.
Is he better to the, like, is the delta there the 12th pick of the draft, right? Is the difference between Sean Payton and D'Amico Ryans worth the cost of pick number 12? For me, it's not. Like, we have callers all, Gary calls us all the time and says, what has Bill Belichick won without Tom Brady? And we push back and say he won 11 games with Matt Castle, went to the playoffs with Mac Jones, but he never won a Super Bowl without Tom Brady. What has Sean Payton done without Drew Brees?
Nothing.
What has Sean Payton done without Drew Brees?
Right.
Like, so there's an element there as well. That we don't really know what Sean Payton's going to look like. And actually, Sean Payton's last year, I don't believe he had Drew Brees, right? Drew Brees retired.
Yeah, he was
before
he had
Sean
Jameis
Payton,
Winston.
Before the 2021 season, they went 9-8, missed the playoffs.
He had Jameis Winston, so, and then Jameis Winston got hurt.
We've seen 1 year of Sean Payton without a Hall of Fame quarterback, without one of the best quarterbacks that has ever done it. 1 year of Sean Payton without a Hall of Fame quarterback was 9-8, missed the playoffs.
People forget he came to New Orleans first. And then got recruited Drew Brees. So they were, like you said, they were basically, not that they planned this, but they ended up being a package deal. But it's hard to say one without the other when you talk about their careers in New Orleans. And the thing that I would echo with that, Jeremy, is to the caller that said that the pick might not turn out. Well, what if the pick turns out to be the kid from TCU? What if the pick turns out to be the best receiver in the draft at 12? And you know that this kid is set up for success. And what if he turns out to be like some of the other big first receivers that have been taken recently in first rounds? You don't think that that would be a more beneficial add to your team and still having a good but younger coach or Sean Payton? Like, that's an easy no-brainer for me.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Let's get Gary in here. Gary, you're in the high with the Killer Bees. What's up, Gary?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I want to say, in general, I will be against the Sean Payton hire, but I don't think Nick Caserio knows what he's doing. I'm on record. I've been thinking he should be fired. And so that's why I will want Sean Payton, because that would mean either Nick Caserio will be greatly diminished, or he'd have to quit, or he'd leave. I don't think the guy knows what he's doing. I don't think Sean Payton's some amazing GM or anything like that. But he did work with Loomis in New Orleans. And so if we can get rid of Caserio and bring in Payton, and the 12th pick would kind of hurt. Mm-hmm. If we had an actual GM, I would say we don't need Payton. But to get Payton and get rid of Caserio is a major move forward for the organization. And that's why I will be in favor of bringing in Sean Payton.
Appreciate the call, Gary. I always appreciate you listening. Look, here's the thing, too. We don't know that, if Sean Payton doesn't want the general manager role. I said yesterday, I don't believe that in today's NFL that you should have a guy that does the head coaching job, and that there's just too much going on from a day-to-day basis.
He would have a lot of power.
Yeah, he would have to get a lot of support, too. His support staff would have to be incredible on the general manager side, because he's going to be engaged in practices and game planning and scheming and all these things on a daily basis. So, I mean, that's one thing. The other thing is, no matter how rich you are and how much money you have, when you start looking at the grocery list of guys you're paying to not be around anymore, if you added Caserio to that and his six a year or whatever it is, and then you're still paying O'Brien, or you were still paying O'Brien, I don't know if you still are, but O'Brien and Cully and Lovey and Caserio, and you look at it and going, holy bleeping hell, what am I doing here throwing money away?
I honestly love the Gary point of view that it diminishes Casario, because I don't know if any of us is like, we've kind of viewed the Casario press conference Monday, and now we're kind of drawing conclusions that maybe he was like saying, look, I'm willing to surrender power for the right candidate. Maybe he was speaking indirectly to Sean Payton, but that is an interesting caveat.
The power shift would be... But it would have to be inevitable, right?
But I don't want to hire a coach because I'm anti my GM.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But you do agree with me, right? If Peyton comes the power shift goes right to head coach.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And to that's like Gary's reasoning for wanting Sean Payton, because his despise for Nick Casario. And I don't want to hire a head coach because I hate my GM. 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line. Why in the world do you want Sean Payton? Makes no sense to me. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Uncle Barney has texted. He says, would you trade Kenyon Green for Sean Payton? Because that's what you can expect from Nick Casario, kind of to Gary's point. Why not? Like, I understand that Kenyon Green was, you know, the 15th pick. Texans had 13, traded down, et cetera, et cetera. I understand that Kenyon Green didn't have a great rookie season up and down. I think he showed really good things, and he showed a lot of bad things. Overall, he had a disappointing rookie year. I think that we're all in agreement on the assessment of Kenyon Green. And Kenyon Green, for a dude in the middle of the draft, like, okay, you could have done a lot better. I understand that. I wouldn't trade Kenyon Green for Sean Payton, if I'm being completely honest with you. I still think, and look, maybe I'm just a complete homer and have my battle red, deep steel blue, Liberty white goggles on. I think Kenyon Green's going to be a starter in the NFL for a decade.
Long period of time.
And I'm not trading a 10-year starter at guard for the head coach that I'm not even sure is the best head coach that's currently out there for the Houston Texans.
Well, I think in a lot of ways, offensive linemen, normally if they're trying to find their way, it's because they don't do either thing well, pass block or run block. In the case of Kenyon Green, he is a beast in run block.
Yeah,
he just has to get better at pass blocking. But I think that you can work with him on that. And again, that's part of it. And the other part of it is building that continuity with an offensive line where the guys next to you can kind of sometimes pick up for you if you slip up in certain places. But I think that you're right. I think that, yeah, you can scrutinize and criticize Casario going, was it too high to take a guard? Well, that can be determined. But taking a guard there, are you getting a guy that's going to be a mainstay on your offensive line for the next 5 to 10 years? It's quite possible, and with what you've seen of him and with people that were just raving about his run blocking, it's entirely possible that when he works on his pass blocking that he's going to get better. I would think that there's a good chance that happens, but overall, he's going to be on your offensive line for quite a while.
Would you trade Kenyon Green for Sean Payton?
I would not.
I really wouldn't either, and maybe we're being outrageous there, but like that wouldn't even be the 12th pick of the draft, right? And, like, you could throw in the Nick Casario caveat. Like, everybody thinks Nick Casario sucks at drafting. Derek Stingley over Sauce Gardner doesn't look great year one. Sauce, like, they put a governor on Derek Stingley. They should have picked Sauce. We wanted Sauce. Like, mm-hmm. So I understand that. Kenyon Green, up and down rookie year. But the rest of Casario's draft was pretty darn good. Like,
really
Jalen Petrie, yeah, he had tackling issues, but he also had 135 of them. He's a pretty good safety in the second round. Damian Pierce looks like the future of the running back position for the Houston Texans for the foreseeable future, and he was a fourth-round draft pick. Casario's draft, like, you could criticize the first round, and that's fair to criticize that. I don't think he's a buffoon. I don't think he's a bumbling idiot. I really don't. 713-780-ESPN.
Again, I say that you bring instant credibility to the franchise from a national media perspective, and the national guys who really want to pick you apart right now because they still can't get over what's happened in the past, and they think that what happened to Lovie just exacerbates the fact that it's still a joke of a franchise. You bring in a Sean Payton, and you cool a lot of people's jets immediately because you think it brings instant credibility and stability to an otherwise completely organization in disarray.
Here's the last 5 years of pick number 12 in the NFL. Because, like, Kenyon Green would be the Texans comparison because he was middle of the, you know, early. You had the 13th pick, traded down to 15. So I can understand why Kenyon Green's thrown in the conversation. Last 5 years of pick 12 in the NFL. Jameson Williams. Would you rather have Jameson Williams or Sean Payton? Give me Jameson Williams.
Right.
2 years ago, it was Micah Parsons. Oof. Micah Parsons. Like, that's the total. Ooh, that's the high-end range. That's the high-end range hitting number 12 out of the park. Micah Parsons was the number 12 pick in the NFL draft 2 years ago, and people are just throwing that away for a dude who quit on his team. You were like, that's nuts to me. 3 years ago, not a great example, was Henry Ruggs. That's not the best example in this conversation.
Well, but talent-wise,
Rashawn Gary, 4 years ago, was the number 12 pick, and then 5 years ago was Vita Vea. So that's kind of the range last
those are
5 years.
All really good football players.
I'm not trading. I don't even know that Sean Payton's the best head coach in this cycle. I don't even know if he's the best head coach in this cycle. And you're giving away a top half of the first-round draft pick for him? 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Ali, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Ali?
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. I'm all on board for D'Amico Ryans. I want a young head coach. I don't want to retread. I think we have a lot of holes to fill, and giving up draft capital to get that is not the best idea. I mean, Denver just did that to get Russell Wilson, and that didn't really turn out all that well. So I'd rather, you know, if I saw number 12, the 12th pick overall, then give it up for a retread head coach. I'd rather get a young guy that's hungry for the job. And I think D'Amico Ryans would be the best pick for the Texans for that reason. For, like, as a coach as well as fan base, like, we'd get behind him real quick because of what he did in Houston as a player.
Appreciate the call, Ali. He brings up an interesting point that we haven't discussed 38 minutes into this program, is where the Texans are from a talent point of view. Like, if you had two first-round draft picks and you were, like, a playoff-caliber team, let's say it's the Chargers, right? Because Sean Payton once, like, there's rumored that he would love to be coaching in L.A. Let's assume it was the Chargers. The Chargers already have a playoff-ready team. They already have their quarterback. Like, they're built to win right now. That's a turnkey organization. It's not a needing of a rebuild like the Houston Texans. They don't, like, if they had a second first-round draft pick, it makes a lot more sense for a team who has a turnkey organization, who already has a playoff roster that feels they're a coach away, to trade an additional first-round draft pick for said head coach. When you're the Houston Texans and you have what I would think is the worst roster in the NFL, the worst roster in the entire league, why are you trading away the number 12 pick in the NFL draft when you have so much, like, you need to make so much progress from a talent point of view? Like, this isn't a turnkey organization. You need all the help you can get.
Like, for example, if Sean McVay would leave the Rams, that roster is ready for a veteran, experienced, Super Bowl caliber head coach like Sean Payton. And that's the kind of situation Sean Payton wants to walk into. Mm-hmm. That's where you could see it being a no-brainer. And to your point, that's the reason why the Rams have been so willing to unload a lot of their draft capital over the last couple of years, because they're a veteran, free agent, and trade-loaded team ready and loaded for bear to go for it all right now. They're not worried about the future. They're not worried about draft picks. And their roster is stacked with all-pro players. That's why it would be a great marriage. It doesn't make sense if you are as bad as the roster is of the Houston Texans, and literally, if you want to say in disarray or not, as messed up as the front office has been and the ownership, to take on a guy like Sean Payton who wants to win, who's going to be expected to win from everybody watching from the outside because of the dollar figure, the capital given up, and the control he's going to want, and know that there's a roster not capable of fulfilling what you're supposed to be here to do.
Yeah. I mean, that's where we're at. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Casey, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Casey?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I was just, I know the report is that it's going to take a one, but what's your opinion if it was the 33rd pick? And the reason why I say that is Denver doesn't have any picks. So it's Denver, Arizona, and Houston as of right now that's been given the option to talk to Sean Payton. Denver doesn't have a first, and Arizona has a third pick. Well, I would be shocked if Arizona was given up the third pick, and if they were, then 12 would be irrelevant anyways. So what are they offering that Houston's not? So I think potentially, you know, the 33rd pick and then maybe like a fourth or something has potential to kind of get the deal done. Now, I don't know. It's tough to tell, but wanted to get your thoughts on that.
All right, let's entertain that for a second, Casey. And everything that we've heard is it's going to be a first-round draft pick. Everything that we've heard that's been reported by people that you trust, all of that, is that it would take a first-round draft pick minimum. But let's entertain Casey's point for a second, because the Texans have the second pick of the second round, which this year is number 33, because Miami forfeited its first-round draft pick. And they also threw in the caveat of a fourth-rounder. If it is a second and a fourth-rounder, I still wouldn't do it. Quite honestly, I wouldn't even do it for a fourth. I wouldn't do a fourth round pick for Sean Payton. I wouldn't trade a single draft pick for Sean Payton. If I could get Sean Payton for free without draft pick compensation, I still don't want Sean Payton. I want Benny Johnson, and if it's not Benny Johnson, then I want DeMeco Ryans. I do not want Sean Payton in Houston under any circumstance.
I don't know that I would say any, but to me, it's the wrong fit at the wrong time. And it's for all the reasons that I've already stated. I just believe he is a veteran coach looking for a veteran roster, looking for the chance to once again prove his greatness in his career by taking another team very far into the playoffs or getting another Super Bowl ring. And I don't think this team is within 3 to 5 years of getting there yet. It's going to be a long haul for the Texans, as we know, starting with the roster, looking at everything else that we've mentioned. I think that he's looking for a team that's well on its way and maybe a step or two away from being there, and he could be one of the variables that gets them where they need to go. That's why, even if he was free, like you said, the only thing that I could say is, if we're talking about this complete overhaul and 180 resurrection of the entire franchise, starting with Cal and going all the way down and being more transparent and all the things they're trying to do to cater to the fans more and everything that goes with it, this would be the move that appeases the national media. And everybody says that it's been a bleep show.
Yeah, it does.
From that standpoint, everybody would be, oh, now they're serious. Now they got a guy that's going to stabilize, that's going to be in control, that's not going to let all of these clown moves happen anymore.
Yeah, I think it does accomplish that.
No question.
It does accomplish that, but that's not in my mind.
But it doesn't sync up. Young roster trying to, you know, mature and get better with every year.
No.
With coach that's been there, done that, looking for a chance to get another Super Bowl.
I don't think it's in the best interest of the organization. Do you trade DeMeco Ryans and the 12th pick for Sean Payton? And we just listed out the last 5 years of who the 12th pick of the draft was. Pretty good names on that list. 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Do you really want Sean Payton in Houston? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
J-Bar M brought us some lunch, thanks to Marie over at J-Bar M. It is fantastic. Got me some brisket, nice little pork rib, some burnt ends. Fantastic. You can never go wrong with J-Bar M's barbecue. Thanks so much to Marie and J-Bar M for delivering us some goodies, delivering us some lunch on a Thursday. I want no part of Sean Payton in Houston. Killer Bees want no part of Sean Payton in Houston. Do you? 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line for Jimmy. Jimmy, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm after listening to some of the callers, I don't know if they're looking at the name and they're just going after that, and they're just willy-nilly wanting to get rid of a 12th-round pick. We have a really awesome draft capital at the moment, and, I mean, I wouldn't waste it for that. I mean, you got Benny Johnson out there. You got Jonathan Gannon out there. I don't think DeMeco Ryans would come over here after that lawsuit and how it all ended for him over here. But, yeah, I mean, you need to get a young coach. You can't just talk about, hey, you got history or you got somebody that's, you know, that's tenured or that's got experience, because Lovie Smith had experience and you saw what happened with that. That's all I got.
Appreciate the call, Jimmy, and that's pretty much where we stand, too. Like, everybody just wants to willy-nilly give away the 12th pick of the NFL draft.
But Jimmy brings up a good point.
He said 12th round pick. He meant 12th pick. Right. Stop nitpicking.
But, Jeremy, I think that Jimmy's one point that really caught me is it's the name. The people are enamored with a name they know.
Absolutely. People, you know, love names. Yep. People,
it's like
love
all the way
names
back to when Dusty was hired. There's to the common fan, oh, I know that name. Mm-hmm. He played. I know that name. He's managed before.
He won
before
a Super Bowl. Not Dusty. But
right. But it's like, that's why the Sean Payton name catches everybody and goes, whoa, mm-hmm, if Sean Payton would come to Houston, what a great move. No, it's a big move from the standpoint of the announcement itself. But is it a great move? That's a different conversation.
Yeah, especially if you're adding the number 12 pick of the draft. Like, there's to me, like, I just told, I told you last segment. If the conversation is Sean Payton or Benny Johnson, I'm taking Benny Johnson. If the conversation is Sean Payton or D'Amico Ryans, I'm taking D'Amico Ryans. You throw in the fact that you would have to add a first-round draft pick, and that is a hard no. That is as hard a no as there can possibly exist.
What about the guys from Philly?
I don't want the guys from Philly.
Either one.
No, I don't. But I'm not trading. But even then, I'd rather have
Right, but you're not giving up Payton. Anything to get whoever you
I'd rather have Steichen or Gannon and pick 12 than Sean Payton.
Well, and the fact of the matter is, if you want Harbaugh, if you want Kingsbury.
Which I don't know why. Why did you bring up their names?
Because they're veteran coaches that are sexy enough to draw the attention.
Zero links currently, though.
I understand that. I'm saying you could have your pick of. I'm trying to make the point. You could have your pick of just about any other coach without having to give up a single thing. The only guy, which might cost you a pretty massive piece if you're talking about the number 12 pick and maybe more, but just the number 12 pick alone for a team that sits where the roster-wise where the Texans sit, you could get the sexy pick that kind of rattles some cages and makes me step back and go, whoa, that's a big move for them. If you wanted a Kingsbury, if you wanted a Harbaugh, if you wanted the guys they've already said they're going to interview except for Sean Payton. But the fact that the stopper for me, it all stops and starts when you start talking about compensation. The minute you start talking about compensation, I'm not interested because that's not where this franchise is.
It's not. You have to build this roster. There's some people on the text line saying that Peyton's using the Texans to get what he wants, which is smart for Peyton, and it could very well be true.
Well, because you think about it. That's the one team of the teams that are interested in him right now that has the most to give. Now, that's not saying that they will, but because Denver doesn't have a first-round pick, Denver is going to be really strapped trying to figure out some creative ways to try and work out compensation. So Arizona has the number three. They're not giving that up. So then he's basically saying, well, if you're not giving up three and the Texans aren't giving up two, then are you willing to find some way to give up, you know, value of 12?
You can give up a future pick.
Right, so I'm saying. So he's trying to use the Texans to up the ante across the board, saying – whether you don't have a first-round pick or you have two or you have future picks and you're not willing to give up the one this year, it better be a pretty big package because I'm talking to the Texans, too. They got a lot of capital because of the Watson trade.
Brandon T., no way I'm trading the 12th pick for Payton. Give me Benny Johnson or D'Amico Ryans, and let's get this thing rolling. That's where I'm at. 7428. If you want a big-name head coach, go after Bill Cowher. Bill Cowher won a Super Bowl, too, and it was only 4 years earlier than Sean Payton. Tom Coughlin has won a Super Bowl more recently than Sean Payton. 713.
Bill Cowher's name should never be mentioned again.
I think he's being sarcastic. He's being very sarcastic.
I know, but I'm saying I've heard other... In the last couple coaching searches, Cowher's name only he always surfaces again.
I'm going to need receipts on that.
That bus has passed.
I'm going to need receipts.
That train has left the station.
I don't know if I believe that. I'm going to need some receipts on that. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRP listener line again. Clarence, you're in the Hive, the Killer Bees. What's up, Big C?
What's going on, guys?
What's up?
Here's a few things that first I don't think anyone's really thinking about, and. Secondly.
Hold on, Big C. Let me introduce you a little bit better. Big C is our resident New Orleans Saints fan, a huge Saints fan, our best Louisiana listener on the Killer Bees, has tons of insight on Sean Payton's career in New Orleans. Big C, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees.
That's very funny, but I'm not going to advocate for or against Sean Payton. I'm just putting some things out there. First off, I had to listen to you talk about these quarterbacks in the draft for weeks and weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
If the Texans really don't love any of these quarterbacks, there's a team that is willing to trade up to get one of these quarterbacks, and they could collect some draft capital. So losing the 12th round pick to get Sean Payton wouldn't really hurt them. Secondly, we are talking about Nick Caserio, who's 0-2 now in head coaches. Yeah. He's going to want to attach his name to someone who's credible and someone who he knows to bring something to the city to make everyone happy and knows that, okay, this is a coach who has experience, and I'm more than likely to keep my job with this guy versus D'Amico Ryan or Ben Johnson.
Big C, why do you think the 12th pick means nothing for the Texans, though? I'm confused by that part of what you
because
said.
Because he's saying trade down at 2 and you recoup whatever you...
But we're acting like that doing that doesn't cost you. Like, trading down from number 2, depending on where you go, cost you one of 5 players that I think you have to leave this draft with. You need to leave this draft with either Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, Willie Anderson, or Jalen Carter. And if you trade down from number 2... all of a sudden you're not leaving the draft with one of these, the one of those guys. And I don't think that Texas can afford to do that.
You're still leaving the draft with one of those guys because there's not that many teams behind you need a quarterback.
But the teams that are trading up are going to.
I can see the Colts. The Colts are foolish enough to trade up and try to overtake the Texans and get number one. At that point, there's not too many teams behind you that need a quarterback. You could trade down not as far as 10, but somewhere around the 8 number to see what
Carolina.
Yeah, but if you trade down to 8, I think if you trade down to 8, I don't think you're getting one of those five guys. I think you've taken yourself out of the range of one of those five guys. And you can't afford that from the Texans.
I'm just saying as far as 8, it doesn't have to be 8.
Right.
But a team who is very desperate to put their name on a map, who are also looking for a coach, like Carolina, who are foolish enough to trade down and give you some picks, like give you their second-round pick in the next round or something like that just to get the quarterback. You can recoup that, move up, and still have draft capital to do some things that you want to, like say if you want to trade back into the first round, like the Saints did a few years ago. You can trade a couple of your draft picks to do that.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, Big C. I think there's a lot of ifs and buts there. You can rearrange stuff. But one of the scenarios that I'm liking out there that I heard from my good old friend Mike recently, he says you draft the best player available at number 2. Let's assume that Bryce Young goes at 1. Let's say Will Anderson's the best player available. You draft Will Anderson, Jalen Carter at number 2. And then you trade 12 and Cleveland's first rounder next year up into the draft to get your quarterback. How would you feel about that?
I still don't like the idea of having to give up any draft assets to get the guy you want. But if you're like,
they're talking about from a player perspective, like, and this would eliminate the idea that you're trading for, that you're trading for Sean Payton because you're using it to trade for players.
Right.
You draft Will Anderson at number 2.
Right.
You combine pick number 12, Cleveland's first round draft pick next year to move up to, let's say, number 6 and take whatever of the 3 quarterbacks is still there.
I don't like it because you're still one first round short. But if it guarantees me you get your guy, I said all along, the one thing I want out of Caserio is trust your gut. Don't get in there and say, this is my guy. This is who I want. Be focused on getting that guy and go get him. If that's what you do and you're going to go get him, then at least you're doing exactly what you kind of want too. Put up or shut up time. Like, this isn't anybody else in the room. This isn't anybody telling you who you should peg. Go get your guy. If that's what they're going to do and they're he's hell-bent sure this is the guy, then go get him.
See, the way that you can kind of use like, sell that to me is you're using one of the 3 first rounders you got for trading your quarterback into Sean
Watson.
To get
another one.
Only one.
Yeah.
You're using 1/3 of the first rounders you got to go get your future
quarterback.
Now,
you don't know if he's going to be as good or better.
No, you don't.
But you're right. You only have to use one of those, and you still get sweeteners by 2 other picks that you can get to enhance your roster.
Like, if you look at it from that perspective, it makes a whole lot of sense.
It does.
713-780-ESPN. Sean Payton to Houston. You good with it? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.